Colossians 1, start verse 24. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for your sake, and in my flesh I am filling up what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for the sake of his body, that is, the church, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God that was given to me for you, to make the word of God fully known. The mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. To them, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. For this I toil, struggling with all his energy that he powerfully works within me. Before us, we have what you could say is a blueprint for gospel ministry. And when we think of building a house, an important aspect of that is a blueprint. To try to build a house without a blueprint would be crazy. My brother right now is in the midst of trying to see a house built, and so he's been working on a blueprint for a couple of months now, and he's almost ready to submit that to see his house built. But he has to have a blueprint. And as we think of gospel ministry, as we think of evangelism and discipleship, we know that this is commanded by God. And so if we want to do it as God has commanded, we ought to look at what he has designed it and understand how he has designed ministry. And so as we'll see in this text, it begins in verse 24, Paul referring to his sufferings. And even as we've just sung a song, "It is well with my soul," we know of the sufferings that go on in this world. And so Paul, though, is explaining the sufferings that he is having, and he can rejoice in the midst of those. And although the work of Christ is done on the cross, there will still be suffering as the gospel is spreading. And yet Paul willingly and joyfully was able to suffer for this ministry. And so we see as Paul is explaining the sufferings that he has, he then at the end of verse 24 explains why he's willing to suffer. And he says, for the sake of his body, that is the church. And so in the next verses, he gives us a blueprint for gospel ministry. And from this, we as believers ought to submit to God's design for gospel ministry. And so we'll see threefold nature of this ministry. First of all, it is sourced in God. And so as Paul's explaining ministry, he begins at the source. It's showing that his ministry is from God. And so he emphasizes this multiple times, that Paul's ministry was nothing of his own. This ministry is directly from God. As he says in verse 25, of which I became a minister. He doesn't say according to his own strengths, according to his own abilities. Rather, he says, according to the stewardship from God. And so Paul understands that ministry is from God. But then he continues, as he says, a stewardship from God that was given to me. And so he understands this ministry is not about him. This isn't something that he has earned, but rather it's been given to him. And so he understood the gift of ministry. And if we want to minister as God intends, we have to recognize that ministry is from God. It's not from our own strengths or abilities. Everything that we have in life and in ministry is from God. And so Paul gives us the right mindset to understand a stewardship. That's what ministry is the opportunity to steward what God has given to us. Paul, throughout the New Testament, emphasizes the importance of this ministry is not his own. In Ephesians 3:8, he says, to me, though I am the very least of all the saints, this grace was given to preach to the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And so Paul is emphasizing that the gospel ministry is God's, is not his own. But he understood this as the foundation of his ministry, that if he would operate ministry because of his own strengths or abilities, it was going to fail. He had to understand that gospel ministry, if it's going to succeed, has to come from God. And even as we think in our own lives, as someone has shared the gospel with us, gospel ministry is so much more than just a person's strengths or abilities. When we see God using people, men and women of God, to spread the gospel, it's something so much bigger than themselves. And that's because ministry is not of our own. It's from God. And so it's a blessing then is when we are struggling maybe with ministry or we're exhausted, we recognize that this is not our own ministry. This isn't just to make our name great, but rather this is God's ministry and we've been given to it. And so we must be careful with this ministry, this gift that God has given to us. But then he continues and he says the recipient of ministry. As he said, the stewardship from God that was given to me. And so just a few words, two words there, to me. But if we understand the significance of what that means, this helps us understand what gospel ministry is. This to me is to Paul. And if we understand Paul's background, this humbles us to understand our own sinfulness. As we look at Paul, when we understand who this gospel ministry is given to, who's writing this book in Acts 9, this same person, it says in verse 1, but Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest. So it doesn't sound like someone that's going to be involved in ministry. In verses 3 through 5, then, as he's approaching Damascus, we know this story very well, but as it says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And he said, who are you, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. And so this is the same person that in Colossians is writing this letter that has a ministry given to him. But then in Acts 9, 14 through 15, as it said, the Lord said to him, go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. So what that does is remind us that God can choose anyone. God chose to use Paul and he has given this ministry. But as we understand that the recipient of ministry, as we ourselves have been given ministry, it's good for to understand where we came from. Even as we've heard a testimony shared today, every one of our testimonies is a miracle that God, by his grace, has saved us. And so when we remember that it's only by his grace, then we are emboldened and encouraged to be involved in ministry. As we know our former story before life, before Christ, we see Paul's story before Christ. We then are encouraged to share the gospel with others as well, because it was nothing of our own strengths or abilities, but rather God has chosen to give us this ministry. And so as Paul teaches then, it's only by the grace of God that we can live out this ministry. In 1 Corinthians 15, verses 9 and 10, Paul, understanding his sinfulness, says, for I am the least of the apostles, unworthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. And so it's beautiful to see this text. Someone that was persecuting the church is now advancing the gospel. And as we see from this, God uses broken people. That's all he uses, is broken people. And so oftentimes, if we think we have everything together and we don't need God, ministry is going to be very difficult, because we can try to sludge along, but without God's help, if we don't understand ministry is from God, it's going to be difficult. But if we understand that God uses broken people, then that means there's a church full of people that are able to be involved in ministry, that can evangelize, that can disciple others, because God uses broken people. And so regardless of your background, regardless of how you were raised, if God has saved you, you can be involved as well. If he could save Paul and he could use Paul mightily, he can use you mightily as well to reach this community, to reach your neighbors, to reach your family with the gospel. And so then we see, as Paul continues, the scope of this ministry. He says the ministry was given to me, to Paul, for you. Paul didn't simply just get this ministry to then go out and do a lot of things and to build his name, to build his brand, and everyone knows about Paul. But rather, it was for a specific purpose. And Paul understands throughout his ministry, he wasn't just given the gospel to be able to enjoy, but it was for a purpose, as he says, to me, for you. And as we understand the gospel, we must always remember that it's not simply a purpose to get saved and then to just enjoy a comfortable life. But rather, we as well must be looking for ways to share that, that God has given the gospel to you, to this church, for a purpose. And so to understand that, the gospel ought to be spreading throughout Travelers Rest and throughout Greenville and throughout the world. Hopefully we look at our lives and we can say, what role can we play in that? That I am not just keeping the gospel to myself. As one person said, the gospel is more than just a secret. It is something to be shared. And so it's good for all of us to evaluate who in our lives God has placed before us. As Paul said, for you, as he had a purpose, we as well have people that God's placed in our lives, individuals that your pastor would never be able to reach in the way that you have a relationship with people, that you could share the gospel with them and direct them to Christ. But as we think of the purpose of ministry, as we think of the scope of this ministry, it's good for us to constantly keep others before us. It's amazing to see Paul's obligation to continually share the gospel. But what's interesting is if somebody were to loan you some money, and you were to use it for a purpose, you know you still need to give that money back. But it'd be different if somebody loaned you money and then said, go use this for something. You've now been given a specific task that you need to use that for that purpose. But as we think of the gospel, this wasn't just simply given to us. We need to think of who God has placed in our lives that we can share the gospel with. And as Paul says, just two words, for you. And this is the goal, though, of ministry, for others. Then he continues and gives us the purpose of ministry. As he continues on in verse 25, he says, he became a minister, and he was a stewardship from God that was given to me for you. And then he shows at the end of the verse, to make the word of God fully known. And so that ought to be our goal. We want to see God's word fully known in this church and in this community. And so God's plan was for his word to be fully revealed, to be fully known. And that plan includes you. That plan includes believers today, that we get to be involved in God's word being fully known. And so hopefully that's our desire, even to see the word of God fully known or to be complete. Even as we think of God's word is sufficient, and yet it has to be spread. We want others to fully know this as well. And so even as we think of in 2020, hopefully that's our desire, is to see God's word made fully known, for it to be spread, both throughout the world as well as in our community. And as we look at God's word, as that's the goal of ministry, to see the word fully known, one thing we know of Scripture is that it does not return void. Isaiah 55, verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goes out from my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose, and shall succeed in the thing for which I sent it. So God is showing us this ministry. He's given to us the gospel, and now we have an obligation, the opportunity to share the gospel and to make the word of God fully known. And so Paul shows us this is ministry that is sourced in God. But secondly, then, it is centered on Christ. If our ministry is going off in the latest fads that are coming out, if it's going off of something, a new idea that we've had and we want to talk about, and is not centered on Christ, it is going to fail. And so Paul directs us to what our ministry ought to be about. As he says in verse 26, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. We are talking about Christ. And as he just said a few verses earlier, in verses 15 through 20, he has given us an amazing description of who Christ is, as he says, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. As he continues, he shows that Christ is supreme and greater than all. And this Christ ought to be the center of our ministry. And so he shows us the content of our Christ-centered ministry. He shows of Christ, he is the mystery. And it's beautiful how he uses this description, the mystery, as he gives us an understanding of what that is. As he says, the mystery hidden for ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. And if we think of the gospel, we understand how God has revealed himself. We understand that in the Old Testament, even if we were to go back to Genesis 3 and the fall, God had a plan. And yet they didn't fully understand what that plan was. There was a mystery. And yet God was working throughout that. And so as we go through the Old Testament, prophets are foretelling of a Messiah to come. And yet there's still a mystery. It's not fully revealed. Even as we get into the New Testament, after hundreds of years of waiting for this mystery, we then see God's plan unfolding as Christ takes on flesh. And yet when he then died on the cross, we now see his plan, this mystery, being revealed. And so we then, fast forward 2,000 years, we have the privilege, we know what the mystery is, and God has revealed that to us. And so this Christ, this mystery that's now revealed, is the center of our ministry. But as he says, the mystery, this ought to bring about a joy, that we get to know the mystery. If you ever watch a movie or read a book with a mystery, you just want to understand, what is it? What happened? How is it going to end? And yet we know the mystery. It's been revealed to us. And so we ought to then want to teach others about the mystery, about the greatness of who Christ is. That's our ministry, that we get to explain to others Christ. And so if we look at evangelism and discipleship as just something else we have to do to our busy schedule, we're going to feel like it's almost like homework. And as you know, in college, there's lots of homework. And when a professor gives you another assignment on top of everything else, it's hard to figure out how to get it done. And sometimes you feel like you just sludge through it. But evangelism and discipleship is so much more than just something else to add on. Rather, if we look at it, is getting to explain to others the mystery of Christ. If it's a joy to us, then this isn't going to feel like homework. Rather, this is something we want to do. We want to tell others about Christ and evangelizing them. We want to explain to them, once they are saved, to disciple them, to show them the truths of Scripture. And so if we understand the mystery ourselves, if we look at Christ and are amazed at who he is, then we want to be involved in evangelism. We want to be involved in discipleship. And so we see the content that it's Christ, the mystery, but even that Christ himself, this is who we get to proclaim. And so this is what our ministry ought to be centered around. That evangelism, sharing the gospel, isn't something about checking off a checklist for the week, but rather we're explaining Christ. We get to introduce people to a person, to Christ who can save them. But then he continues on, not only is it Christ, but even Christ in you, which is the hope of glory. This is what our ministry is, that we get to show to others not only what Christ has done, that he can save you from your sins, but also we get to show to them the hope that Christ brings as well, the hope of glory. And so as Paul is showing us this Christ-centered ministry, he then shows how this is to be accomplished. And so as he's shown here, the mystery hidden for ages and ages, but then verse 28, him we proclaim. And so we have to proclaim Christ, but he shows us how. He says, warning everyone and teaching everyone with all wisdom. And so there's two aspects of this proclaiming. We're going to be proclaiming by admonishing or warning. And as we look at evangelism, that's what we're doing. We're warning others of God's judgment, but as well his love. We're showing to them what the Bible says about their sinfulness and about their souls, but that we also get to show them the gospel. And so we get to admonish and warn others. But even in the church, even in discipleship, this is true, as oftentimes as Christians, we can be stubborn. And so oftentimes we miss out on truths we even know and yet don't live out. And so even in Scripture, we see this idea of admonishing. As one commentary put it, has the idea of confronting with the intent of changing one's attitudes and actions. And so we want to change people. That's discipleship. As we're discipling one another, even the church, we come together to be discipled. We all have areas to grow. And so Christ-centered ministry is going to be directing others to Christ, showing where we can grow as well. But we also proclaim by teaching. And this is walking people through Scripture, whether it's in a Bible study or in Sunday school or discipling someone else. This is the opportunity to show to them the Christian truth. And so many times, somebody that is saved and didn't grow up in church, they need much of this. They've never heard the Bible. And so as we think of discipleship, hopefully this is exciting, that if you've led someone to Christ, that you now get to unpack Scripture for them. And so hopefully our desire is to want to be directing others to Christ, to evangelizing, but then also that we get to be teaching them, to be discipling them as well. So as Paul is showing us, he shows us how we are proclaiming. But then he continues as he says, he proclaims to everyone. And so here in this passage, Paul's mentioned multiple times everyone that he's involved in, that the gospel goes to everyone. 28, he says, him we proclaim, warning everyone and teaching everyone. And later on, he says that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And so Paul's scope of ministry was not limited to just his friends, not limited to just his comfort zone, but it was to everyone. Even as we understand to both Jews and to the Greeks, Paul's ministry was open to whoever God placed in his life. And as we think of evangelism and discipleship, it's not just about the easy friends that we enjoy talking to. It also means our other neighbors that we don't get along with as well. We need to share the gospel with them. For discipling, we need to be willing to involve anyone that we're able to disciple as well. And so as Paul's vision for others, nobody was excluded from his desire to proclaim, to warn, and admonish. Nobody was excluded from this desire that every man is made complete. But as we look at Paul's desire, hopefully that's your desire, that you want to see every man come to know the gospel, to see every person discipled as well. As Paul was going on in ministry, he saw that it had to be Christ-centered, and he shows it to us. This Christ-centered ministry has to be centered around including everyone as well. But then he also shows this proclaim and this teaching is done with all wisdom. And he shows the importance that we ourselves must be studying Scripture. We must ourselves have wisdom, even as we ask from God, so that we can share with others, so we can disciple others in what we ourselves have learned. And so he shows us then the goal of Christ-centered ministry. Shows why are we doing this? And then he says, that we may present everyone mature in Christ. And so think of that even as a goal for a church. If that's the goal here, to present everyone mature in Christ, that is a wonderful goal. Even to go through the end of this year then to see how people have become mature in Christ throughout this year. That's what discipleship does, is as we're bringing people to maturity in Christ. But hopefully that's your desire, even in your family, in your friends, amongst the people in this church. As a church, our desire to see everyone mature in Christ. And what's important about this is this doesn't just happen overnight. This isn't just something that, okay, let's focus on this, we do it next week, and then we're done for the year. This is slow work of the gospel. And yet, it's joyful to see people grow in their relationship with Christ. As we get to watch somebody that's been struggling with sin, as they get victory over this sin, we're watching them become mature in Christ. And so the slow steps of discipleship are what God has designed to make us more like Christ. This is the goal that we ought to strive for, to see others become mature in Christ. So Paul shows us a ministry. This is sourced in God, but then it has to be centered on Christ. Our evangelism, our discipleship, Everything in the church has to be centered on Christ. But then as he concludes this passage, he doesn't simply just stop there and saying of how much work this is going to be. Lastly, he shows that ministry is enabled by the Spirit. As he ends this chapter, he says, verse 29, "For this I toil." Everything we've been working up to, "for this I toil, struggling with all his energy, that he powerfully works within me." So this is beautiful to see Paul wrestle with the toil and the struggle of ministry. It's hard. And if we think of ministry, evangelism, and discipleship, these are hard. They take time. They take effort, emotions, as we pour our lives into people. And he says that. He doesn't just simply say, this is something pretty simple to do. He says, "For this I toil, struggling with all his energy." So if you want to understand what ministry was like for Paul, you can look here. It was hard. He struggled with all his energy. If we understand the idea of toil, is to strenuously contend. And this struggle even was originally the idea to compete of how hard that is. And yet that's what ministry was. And we look at that. Paul, he had a desire to see everybody become mature in Christ. He wanted to see the word made fully known. If we want to see those things happen, it's going to take a struggle. It's going to take energy that we pour into this. We can't simply add 30 minutes once a week and hopefully we want to see everyone mature in Christ. This took much energy. And so Paul shows us how difficult this can be. But this wasn't just for naught. As his desire, he wants to see God's word made fully known. And so this was worth it. Every ounce of energy he put into this, he was willing to for the sake of the gospel. And so even when we can be exhausted, we remember our ministry is not from God. And so it's not about us, but we're in a ministry that God has given to us. And so we continually can go on and struggle for the sake of the gospel. But what's beautiful is that he could have just ended the chapter right there and said, "For this I toil," almost as if he's saying, "Look at me, look at how hard I've worked." But rather, he's saying, all of this energy that's going into this, and then the last phrase, he says, "that he powerfully works within me." And so if we want to have ministry, right, we have to understand this, that this is not on our own. This ministry that God has given to us is then enabled by us. And it's beautiful to see that he powerfully works within me. And so there's an energy, but it's an energy from God as God is equipping. If God's going to give a ministry, he's going to enable that ministry as well. And so it's beautiful to see Paul is working, and yet at the same time, the Spirit is enabling this as well. And so it's amazing to see as Paul talks about how could he have ministry? It was from God. It was enabled by God as well. What's beautiful is he says, the energy that he powerfully works within me. When we understand as believers, we have the Holy Spirit. We understand who the Holy Spirit is. This is the same one that raised Jesus from the dead. Romans 8:11 says that the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you. He who raised Christ Jesus from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. And this is the Spirit that dwells in us, that dwells in you. And so how is ministry possible? How is sharing the gospel with others and discipling? Because the Holy Spirit that's in us, that's enabling this ministry. And so as we think of ministry, even whatever ministry you might be involved in this church, we have to balance both of these. On one end, we have to be putting energy into this to toil. We can't simply be passive and sit back and hope to see God do great works in the church. But at the same time, if it's only that, it's going to be exhausting and miserable, and yet we're going to see God do very little. But if we balance this with the Holy Spirit working within us, the energy that he powerfully works, we can see him do incredible things in this church and in your life because he's enabling this as well. And so never underestimate the greatness of God's power. It might even look difficult. Your neighbor that has never listened to you, and yet God gives grace. He enables us to be able to share the gospel. As you pour into this church and spend countless hours in ministry, God is enabling you to do the ministry. One pastor said that God does not work instead of our working, but through our working. God does not energize instead of our having energy. He energizes our energy. And I love how he puts that. He energizes our energy. That's what God's doing at work. And so as you submit to God, as you see God work, it's exciting then to see him do things you never thought would be possible. And yet that's our God, the one working. And so Paul shows us this design that ministry has to be sourced in God. We understand where it comes from. It's centered on Christ, but then it's enabled by the Spirit. If you as a church are able to follow as what God has given, there can be amazing things that God does in this church and in this community. As you see the gospel spread, as you see others come to know Christ and they are discipled. And so as we submit to God's design for ministry, we get to see God work in powerful ways. I'll close with this verse from Ephesians 3. Even as Paul is directing us to the power that God can work in us when we submit to him, he says, "Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen."